You brought your Bibles, and I hope that you have. Turn with me to the book of John, John chapter 15. Gospel according to John, it's the fourth book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John, to the 15th chapter of the book of John, about two-thirds, a little more of the way through it. Now, I'll give you just a moment. I'm going to start there at the beginning of the chapter. John 15, we'll start at verse 1 in just a moment, but I'll give you a moment to find it. John chapter 15, we'll read the first 8 verses, and then we'll go to the Lord together in a word of prayer. All right? John chapter 15, starting with verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just humbly come before you one more time here this morning, thanking you for the good day and the many blessings, for the opportunity to be here, share your word, worship together. Thanking you, Lord, for every breath that we draw, it's a gift from you. But we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus, Lord God, that you sent him and gave him so that we might have life, so that we would have a reason for hope, a reason for joy, a reason for our gathering this morning. Help us, Lord, to keep things in perspective. Help us to keep our focus on you, you alone. Help us here this morning. Lord, you tell us in your word that you're the searcher of hearts. I know that means that you know what's in our heart. You know our thoughts, our desires. Nothing hidden from you. And you know where we stand here this morning. You know whether or not we are one of yours, whether or not we are truly saved. And so, Lord, my prayer this morning is that you would deal with each and every heart that is here. Every heart under the sound of my voice. Convict us of where we fall short. Lord, if there's any among us that doesn't know you, not saved, not one of yours, never turned it over to you, never accepted you, never professed. Oh Lord, let today be the day of salvation. And if there's any that's just drifted away, or just not doing what they know they should, oh God, pour out that old time Holy Ghost conviction upon them. Don't give them any peace until they get things right with you. Help us here this morning. Help me. Anoint me from on high. Clear my mind of everything but your message, your words, your thoughts. Help me, Lord, to be your vessel to preach your word, your message in a way that pleases you and glorifies you. And I'll be sure and give you every bit of the glory for it because I love you. We love you. We worship you. We praise your holy name. We ask it all in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Now, church, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to be rooted. Use that phrase over and over, rooted. And we've seen what happens when God's people, when they get hungry for the Word of God, right? We can go all the way back to Nehemiah. That's where we started at. And then we can see, when we're in Acts chapter 2, we can see how the early church, how they lived in this spirit-driven rhythm of devotion. And was the point that I was trying to bring out of that, was that rhythm that God had, is God ordained and God intended. Honestly, it's completely necessary that we be in that rhythm if we're going to be where God wants us to be, living like God wants us to live. And we've talked about sinking our roots deep into the Word of God, deep into the Scripture, deep into your Bible. How important that is for each and every one of us. Kind of talked about that kind of sort of for a couple weeks, but last week specifically talked about passing it on, teaching them diligently. But let me ask you a question this morning. Why would a farmer plant something? Why would a person plant an apple tree? Why would, maybe you're not a farmer. Maybe you don't have any kind of fruit trees or anything like that. But we could extend this question on. Ladies, if you got a flower garden or a flower bed, or you like those kinds of pretties, why do you plant them? Why do you give them attention? Why do you tend to them? Why, for those of you that make garden, now we're getting a little closer to me, why I would take time to play in the dirt. Why would you plant a tomato plant? I've been talking about roots, right? Would you plant whatever it is and tend to it and take care of it so that you could stand back one day and say, my, what a root system them flowers has got on them. Or my, what a root system that tomato plant's got on it. Don't look like much on this end, but boy, she's really got roots. No, that's not why you would do it. I plant tomato plants because I want tomatoes. Plant flowers because you want them to bloom and be pretty. You want to look at them. Person was to put an apple tree out. I'll not preach on that this morning. I've tried this one before, though. It's because you want apples. I want apples so Jennifer can make me apple pie. That didn't work out. Farmer plants his crop. Whatever it is, wheat fields, corn fields, soybeans, whatever, he plants it so that it will produce a crop, so that it will produce a fruit, right? Not so it will just grow roots and that's it, but so that it will produce something. Now listen to me. The roots are essential because without them it's not going to produce anything. Right? That is, I mean, they exist, right? Those roots and that root system exist for a purpose. And that purpose is beyond the roots itself, right? The purpose of the roots? The roots are for fruit. Not going to produce good fruit without good roots. So church, there's a sobering truth that I want you to understand, and I'll try to connect the dots here in just a minute, but I want you to get this. It's what Jesus is getting at here. Roots that don't produce fruit is just wood waiting on the fire. It's just firewood. In John chapter 15, let's look at this. Let's look at the setting for just a minute. In John chapter 15, we are the night before
the crucifixion of Jesus. The night before, they've already had the Last Supper. He's already washed the disciples' feet, right? This is the very night before. And he gives the disciples a final crucial lesson, message here. And that message it's actually pretty simple. And it's the point that I'm trying to make, the main point I'm trying to make this morning. And it's simply, if I was going to sum it up like this, I would say it's because Jesus is the true and only source of life. Our rootedness must be in Him, and it must produce fruit, but not just any fruit. Fruit, the kind of fruit that lasts, eternal, lasting fruit, and it's for the Father's glory. That would just sum the whole thing up, but let's unpack it for just a minute, all right? Jesus started out, He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, that word husbandman comes from husbandry, and it don't have anything to do with a married man. I know that's what we think of, but it's an old-time word that we don't use so much anymore, but it's been around for a long time. But essentially, what it means is a farmer, right? Somebody who takes care of a crop, or it could be even animals or anything like that. That's essentially what it means. Somebody who manages an estate or whatever, right? I think the only time we hardly ever use husbandry around here anymore is having to do with forestry. But anyways, that's what it means, okay? And Jesus says, I am, right? There's two people and he's talking about, and he lays out what they are, him and his Father. His Father is the husbandman. His Father is the farmer, right? The vine dresser, right? The master gardener. And Jesus says that he is the true vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, that statement might not have landed with you. It might not mean anything to you. You might even be thinking, well, that's, you know, Jesus' famous I am statements, right? There's seven of them. This is the capstone. This is the final one. I am the true vine, right? Beyond that, it may not have landed with you and meant much to you, but to those Jews that were standing around listening, buddy, let me tell you something. That I am the true vine, that packed a punch. That was like a slap in the face. Why? Because those Jews had always thought that them, Israel, national Israel, Judaism as a religion, however you want to look at that, because to them that was all one and the same thing, that they were the true vine. And Jesus right in their face saying, uh-uh, you ain't the true vine. I am the true vine. I am the real deal. I am the genuine article. And that, my friends, would have been like a kick in the teeth, a slap in the face. That would have got their attention. It would have been a shocking statement. Because for centuries, I mean, that's the way the Old Testament referred to it, right? I go back to Isaiah chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 2. For centuries, Israel had thought of themselves as God's true vine. But the truth is, and God had warned them through the prophets, the truth is that vine, Israel, it had become corrupt. Terminology that the Old Testament prophets had used is it was like producing wild, worthless grapes. And then here, Jesus steps onto the scene and he declares that old vine has failed and I am the true vine. I am the real deal. I am the genuine article. I am the true source of life. And then, I said there was two people, two things here. Notice, he says who's in charge. He says, my father is the husbandman. My father is the farmer. My father is the owner. He is the master gardener. He is the vine dresser, right? What it's getting at here is he, God the Father, is personally interested in every single branch. And so this vine dresser, in his wisdom, scriptures tell us, Jesus tells us that he does two things. Verse 2, he tells us. All right? First, he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, think about this for a minute. Jesus is the vine. He is the true source of life. He is the true vine. And every branch, well, we'd say it today, every Christian, every believer, right? Each one were a branch. He says, my Father, who's the one that manages this, takes care of it, tends to it, every one of them branches that don't produce fruit takes it away. That ought to be terrifying. That ought to be a terrifying warning against, and I know I'm given, you know, church language here, but we call it a profession of faith. All that simply means is you proclaim to be a Christian. You know, maybe at some point you made a trip to the altar, maybe you didn't, and you know, maybe, who knows, it can happen anywhere, anytime, but at some point you have made a profession of faith, you have said, I'm a Christian, you know, you decide to put on that name tag, that label, and you've probably been baptized at some point or another or whatever, right? You've made a profession, right? Maybe you made that profession of faith privately to a parent or to a preacher or to whoever, and then when you were baptized, you made a public profession of faith. But that's it. Never bore no fruit. Never produced no fruit. Friend, let me tell you something. Showing up on Sunday morning once in a while and occupying a seat is not bearing fruit. If you have a profession of faith without the fruit of a transformed life, well, says that God the Father taketh away. Every branch, then he goes on and says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purchased it, right? God the Father. He says, why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now that word purcheth, what he means there is he prunes. It literally means, it's actually, there's a play on words here. It means to cleanse or to prune, right? So, you know, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying here that he does, that his Father does two things with these branches. They don't produce fruit. They're cut off, and we see in these scriptures cast into the fire, right? And then the ones that do produce fruit, he tends to them, and part of tending them is pruning them. And then he tells us the tool that he uses to do that, right? If I'm going to prune, I've had fruit trees at different times. If I'm going to prune my fruit trees, prune my tomato plants, although I don't call it pruning them, but that's what I'm doing, right? There are certain tools that you can use or probably should use for doing that. Well, he tells us there what the tools is that God uses. Let me read to you. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Clean. Pruned. Right? Do you see it? The husbandman, the vine dresser, the farmer, the master gardener, right? His pruning knife or pruning shears is the word of God. The Bible. The scriptures, which I've been preaching about, we need to be in daily, right? We need to be rooted in, right? We need to be reading on our own, and we need to be getting together with others and studying it. He tells us he uses it. Now he does it. It's in love, so it's a lovingly cutting away, but that's still what it is. He's cutting away the dead things in our lives. Well, you might say, well, what do you mean the dead things? I'm talking about the sinful habits, right? I'm talking about the worldly attachments, worldly amusements, the things of the world that appeals to us and draws us, but we shouldn't be doing, right? He prunes those things, right? I'm talking about those things that sap our spiritual energy and our spiritual strength, that drain us, keep us from producing the fruit that we should. Now, there's two things here. There's a taking away, cutting away, casting away, judgment. And then there is a cleaning up, a pruning of what does produce. And that, the first one, the cutting away and the taking away, well, that's punishment, that's judgment. But the pruning, it's not, that's not punishment. All that is God's cleaning you up a little bit. That's his preparation. He's preparing you to produce more fruit. He's preparing you for a greater harvest. Right? He tells us that right there in that same verse. Right? He says, you may bring forth much fruit. That it bring forth, the very end of verse 2, that it may bring forth more fruit. I had mentioned, and I come back to tomato plants as an illustration, because I like tomatoes. I mean, you just can't beat a good bacon tomato sandwich with fresh tomatoes out of the garden, nice and ripe. About dinner time, ain't it? I mean, me and Jennifer, different years, we put out a lot of garden. But years, even when we don't, we usually, not every year, we've missed a few, but we'll at least put out some tomato plants, if nothing else. I don't know if you ever take care of your tomato plants. I've known some guys who, they just stick it out there and hope a few tomatoes come on and ripen, and they'll pick them and eat them. And others that we can really tend to them, really take care of them, and can produce. And if you do that, you can produce a whole lot more tomatoes, or better tomatoes, and fewer plants. One of the things that you need to do is you need to cut all the suckers off there. I mean, I've seen people pinch them off, and if you get, you know, catch them early enough, you can, or you can take your pocket knife and, you know, trim them off there or whatever. But what it is you got your main stalk, and then you'll have a big, you know, branch coming off of that. Right there in that V, that little one that wants to come up there, and it'll come up and start coming up there, that's a sucker. That's probably not the technical name. You know, I'm not into horticulture here. But I mean, that's what I always call them. That's what I was told to call them, suckers.
Them are suckers. You get rid of them suckers. You pinch them off or cut them off or whatever, but get rid of them suckers. And you know why? And you know why we call them suckers? Because all they do is just suck the nutrients, the energy, the water, the stuff that the plant needs to produce fruit. All them suckers do is just suck that up, but they never produce anything. Them suckers that come up there, you won't find no tomatoes on them. They won't produce anything. They just suck what the plant needs to produce fruit. That's what Jesus is telling us that God does here. He goes through and he cuts away all them suckers. And he does this so that what remains, what abides in him, can produce more fruit. But understand, God does this so that God can produce more fruit through us. That's actually how this works, right? I mean, think about this whole thing for just a minute. Right? And you might be sitting there going, well, what's my part in all of this, right? Because, you know, I've tried to explain to you, it's God, right? It's God through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the true source of life, right? I am where you're getting everything that it takes in order to produce fruit, right? So essentially, God is the one who is doing the supplying, and he made it clear that it's his heavenly Father that does the judging, right? Judgment, the punishing, right? The pruning, right? The cutting away, and then it is actually God who produces the fruit. We might bear it, but we didn't do anything to produce it. It's not my good works, but it's what God wants to do through us. So, if that's what's happening here, what's my part in all of this? Well, in verse 4, he gives a command. He says, abide in me, and I in you. Now, that word abide means to dwell, to make your home. Right? He says, dwell in me, live in me, make your home in me, or in him. That's not about a weekly trip. That's not about an hour once a week. That's not about, right, just whenever you're desperate and it's beyond hope and you can't handle it, then you turn to God, right? Then all of a sudden you pray. Can't remember the last time you prayed, but then all of a sudden you pray. Can't remember the last time that you got into the Word of God, right? Can't remember the last time, right? That is not what it's about. It's about living in him, right? It's about a moment by moment, day by day, hour by hour, second by second, right? Minute by minute, moment by moment, dependence on Christ. And he tells us that that is 100% absolutely necessary. Because Jesus makes it perfectly clear when he says, for without me, ye can do nothing. He's saying, apart from him, outside of Christ, if you are not living in him, dwelling in him, right? If you're not abiding in him, right? If you are not sunk in deep into the vine, the true vine, and drawing everything from it. Total dependence on Christ. Apart from him. Oh, you might be busy. And we can run programs, and you can run programs, and you can be a part of this and that, and do all kinds of wonderful good things. Help people, give. You can look very spiritual, But he makes it clear that if you don't live in him, if you don't abide in him, if you don't dwell in him, everything you produce will be nothing more than plastic fruit. That's my analogy, plastic fruit. In other words, lifeless, worthless, good for nothing junk. I told you, church, last week, I think it was, maybe it was the week before, that you can't pass on something you don't treasure. Remember I used that example about that hope chest? You don't treasure it, you won't pass it on. Well, let me tell you something. You can't produce what you don't possess. You don't possess Christ. You don't live in him and he lives in you, right? So he says, you abide in me and I'll abide in you. If that ain't happening, you can't produce anything. Because life, true living fruit, life, can only come from the true vine. And this might be, and I'll end it in just a minute with this, but this might be the most surprising thing to some of you. The ultimate purpose of it all. I know without thinking about it what my default answer would have been. Maybe in the same as you. You know, if somebody said, well, what's the ultimate purpose of it all? Right? If I'd had somebody stationed there by the door asking taking a survey, asking every single person when they walk through the doors, what is the ultimate purpose of it all? Why are we doing this? Why are we gathering, right? Why do we do this? What is the end ultimate purpose? If I didn't take time to think about it, I'd probably just spout off, see people get saved, right? Add souls to the kingdom of God. Now, that's a good spiritual answer, too. Problem is, it's not what the Word of God says. Right there in, let me look at my Bible, make sure I don't tell you wrong, but I think it's verse 8. Right there in verse 8, he tells us. Yeah. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. That is the ultimate purpose. That is the ultimate aim. The goal of our life in Christ is to bring glory to the God the Father. Glory to the vine dresser, to the husbandman, to the farmer in this parable here, in this lesson, right? When we produce, think about it now, when we produce Christ-like character, which is some of the fruit that we ought to be producing, our life ought to reflect the profession that we're making. When our life produces Christian, Christ-like character, it puts the goodness of God on display for the whole world to see. Friends, the whole world sees how we act and how we behave and how we treat others. Now, I don't want to give you the wrong idea. The fruit that we're to be producing, and we're obviously judged by it, but it's not what saves you. Actually, what that fruit is doing is it is giving evidence. It's showing everyone. Right? It makes it obvious that you are saved. We like to use that terminology, saved, and that's why I keep coming back to it. But actually, what it says here is abiding in Christ, right? That fruit is the evidence that we actually are connected and connected like we ought to be to the source, to the true vine, to Christ, that we are abiding in Him and He is abiding in us, and through us He is producing fruit. And that fruit looks like Him. So, the question I really want you to ask through all of this is not simply just, are my roots deep? You do need roots, and they do need to be in deep. The question that you really need to be asking yourself is, my life bearing fruit? Because a fruitless Christian is an absolute contradiction in terms. You might be going, whoa, all right. Maybe it's not. Or maybe it's not like it should, could, once did. Maybe you're just starting down this road and this path and still trying to figure things out. And you might be just sitting there asking, all right, preacher, just get to it. Tell me what I need to do. What needs to happen here? Well, the first thing, he says it here, key words, abide. Don't just visit. Live. Make Christ your new home. I've been talking about the pattern, the rhythm, right? Maybe you once were in it and you've slipped out of it, or maybe you never had it, never developed it. I'm telling you, either renew or start, whatever the case may be for you, a daily pattern of being in the Word of God, of talking to God, right? Prayer, right? You realize that those two things go hand in hand. They're communication. If you're doing one and not the other, it's a one-way conversation. Because God speaks to you through His Word. You speak to Him in prayer. Do it. I would encourage you to do it before the world's had a chance to rush in on your day. And I think that if you'll do that, focus on that, it'll be easier for you to stay connected as you go about your day. And then, the three things here that he tells us. Abide. Second one, be pruned. In other words, you know what? Sometimes we just need to humbly ask our Heavenly Father what needs to be cut away. What needs a little trimming? What areas of my life needs to be cleaned up? You know what? If you'll genuinely ask Him that question, He'll answer you. He'll tell you. But here's the thing. If you're going to ask, you better already have it set that you're going to listen. What good would it do if you come and ask me how to do something? You come to me and you ask me, Malachi, you come to me and you ask me how to do something. I know exactly how to do it. I know what you need to do. I mean, it's not, my answer though is not just a simple one word answer, you know. I mean, it's going to require a little explanation, a little time on my part. But let's say I'm like God and I know everything. Don't run with that.
Don't worry, I can't.
You're terrible, Malachi. The rest of them will get Malachi's joke later. But if I knew he wasn't going to listen, he wasn't going to listen to a word that I said, and he wasn't going to do anything or do whatever he was going to do anyways, I'm not sure I'd waste my time answering you. I don't know if God works exactly that way or not, but I'm telling you,
If I was God, that's exactly how I'd work. And I'm fairly convinced from my time and my walk that God absolutely does work like that sometimes. Already have in your mind, already be determined with God's help. When you ask Him to help clean things up, to prune, to cut away what needs to be cut away, cut off them suckers in your life, that you're going to obey. You're going to listen. With His help, you're going to do it. You're going to surrender the sin, remove the distraction, whatever He reveals. You're going to do it, and you're going to trust that He's doing it for your good, for His glory. So, abide. Live in Christ. He's your home. Where you wake up, where you go to bed, where your mind is all the time. Determined to let God clean you up, to be pruned. And the third thing He said here was bear fruit. Do them first two. Then let, it's not you producing the fruit. God's producing the fruit through you. You're just letting Him do it. You're presenting yourself as a healthy branch, right? And a healthy branch multiplies. Let me give you an example. You're one of these that you need a specific checklist thing to do, then fine. This week, potentially invite someone. Just my challenge to you is one person. Invite at least one person into God's rhythm with you. Maybe to sit down and go over a little bit of the Scripture and study a little bit of Scripture with you. Maybe it's come to church with you. Maybe it's come to Sunday school with you. Maybe it's come to Bible study on Wednesday night with you. Share your life that you received from Christ, the true vine. Share it with someone. Listen, I've been telling you and telling you and telling you. When we come together for worship, and we come together for Sunday school, and we come together on Wednesdays for Bible study, those things are not the fruit. They're just a means of helping you to abide, helping you to live in Christ, helping you to dwell, those are just means of the church, or that God has ordained, right? So that we can come together as a group and help each other stay connected to the true vine, stay connected to Jesus, and not just barely connected, right? I'm talking about healthy, bearing fruit. So church, I don't want to be a group of people, a church who's just known for having deep roots. Let's be one that is known, and when I say known, I mean known by God, of abundant fruit. All for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. Will you stand to your feet? I want to open the altars, Jennifer, please. I want to invite you. I want to invite you, if you're not connected to the vine, you can come and get connected. If you don't abide in Christ, He doesn't abide in you. Your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life if you're not saved. When you die, you won't go to heaven. And it won't be just nothing. It'll be eternity in torment, hell. I want to invite you. Maybe you're connected but not healthy because you're not in the rhythm. Not in the rhythm that God set up for you to keep you healthy, connected and producing fruit. Well, let me invite you into that rhythm. Whatever it is, whatever the need, whatever the burden, the Spirit of God dealing with you, drawing you this morning, you just come on. Don't miss this opportunity. Whatever it is, you have a need, you have a burden, Spirit of God drawing you, dealing with you, you just come on. You just come on. Hallelujah.